and welcome to another exciting episode of It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, the podcast bringing you back to those magical Christmas mornings as a kid. I am one of your hosts, Lyle Perez.
And I'm your other host, Lasse Vogt.
Lasse Vogt, how you doing?
Pretty good.
Good. Are you having fun here in America?
Yes, I do. It's amazing.
Good. Everything's a new experience?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, I've visited America before, but not like this. Not by myself. Not like with everything in charge on my own. And so it's very, very exciting. And I can't wait to see what else I will see and who I will meet.
Nice. Was this sitcom also a good experience?
Yes, yes.
A different type of experience?
Yeah, actually it was.
Good. So in this episode, we watched the Wayans Brothers, which is a sitcom from the 90s. The episode we saw was Psycho Santa, and it was season 2, episode 12. This one originally aired on December 20th, 1995.
Right in time.
Right in time for the holidays. The Wayans Brothers was an American sitcom that aired from January 11th, 1995, all the way to May 20th, 1999. I saw the entire run, and it aired on the WB network, which doesn't exist anymore.
Oh.
The show was created by real-life brothers Sean and Marlon Wayans, along with Leslie Ray and David Steven Simon. They are the masterminds behind this wonderful show. This show has to be one of my favorite shows ever. The show ran for a total of 5 seasons with 101 episodes produced. Out of that, we have 2 Christmas episodes and 1 Halloween. The Halloween episode, I actually already covered it on the Halloween podcast, so it was a lot of fun. The first season of the show was extremely different than what happens in the seasons to come. The first season was very strange, and then the beginning of the second season was very strange because everything that happened in the first season was pretty much gone. Some of the same actors from season 1, they came back to season 2, but they played different characters. It was the same actors, just different characters. It was so weird. I don't know why, but I think it was just because they made the type of show that they wanted in the later seasons, so the first season kind of just got buried.
Yeah.
The show was about, it was centered around brothers Sean and Marlon Williams in their everyday day-to-day life. Really, that's all it was. Nothing much really happens other than that. Sean was the brother with many hopes and dreams, while Marlon was the brother that was pretty much holding him back. There really is no premise to the show other than following these two throughout their brotherly antics. And that's it for the show, really. But I love it. This is one of my favorite shows.
I actually wasn't familiar with it at all until you mentioned that it would be a part of his podcast. And apparently it's not really well known in Germany either. I'm still trying to find something, or maybe I'm just lazy, but it's hard to find something. I mean, of course, I'm familiar with the Wayans Brothers, mainly because of the Scary Movie stuff.
Right.
And other comedy bits they did. But I didn't know that there was a show that existed.
Yeah,
and so this episode was actually my first time experiencing it.
Yeah, it was a show that happened. Not a lot of people know about it. Not a lot of people kind of remember it. It's kind of one of those shows that people don't remember.
It's weird. It's kind of weird. I mean, they're still doing stuff, you know. They still have careers. They still, the movies are still remembered. And this,
right.
with a sitcom like this, you would... I'm sure there are still fans out there, you know, not just you, you know, I'm sure there are still people who watch it.
Oh, I'm sure there is, but I'm still waiting for them to... There's no podcasts about this show. I think I am the only podcaster out there that has talked about this episode on their podcast, or talk about this show on their podcast. I've never heard it anywhere else. But it's a lot of fun. So who was in the show?
Who is in the show? Let me see. Okay. Of course, you have Sean, who is played by Sean Wayans. We have Marlon, who is played by Marlon Wayans. We have the character of John Pops Williams, who is played by John Witherspoon. Dee Baxter, who is played by Anna Maria Hosford. TC, played by Phil Lewis. And there are also other characters in the show, namely White Mike, played by...
White Mike was awesome.
Played by Mitch Mulroney. I can only imagine what his character is.
I will show you some videos of like some highlights of White Mike, and the name pretty much suits the character, White Mike. He was awesome. Mitch Mulaney, he passed away probably, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, somewhere around there. He wasn't really well known. He did this sitcom. He also did another one called Nick Frino, Licensed Teacher. That is another one that is very underrated, very unknown, but it starred a young Mila Kunis.
Oh!
It did.
I see. Because is it weird that, like, on every episode of here, we have to say, like, oh, this person passed away not too long ago and stuff like that?
Seems like that's what happens in life.
Yeah, isn't it? I think one of the only ones we didn't do that on was Sabrina.
Yeah, Sabrina, everyone, as far as I know, everyone there was still alive.
I at least hope so.
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, of course, other characters, Dupree.
Dupree was funny. Too bad we didn't see him in this episode. He's a funny character. He's pretty much the punching bag.
Okay.
He's the one that everybody makes fun of, everybody hits, and all that other stuff. Okay.
Played by Jermaine Hopkins. Monique, played by Paula J. Parker. And I guess that's it.
That's pretty much it for the cast. The top ones, those are the ones we see in this episode. The other characters, they show up from time to time. Dupree is usually hanging around with TC all the time. Mm-hmm. And Monique works in the lobby in the same area they do, just in a different store. She always hangs around every now and then. She's like the love interest of Marlon for the second season. And
was she the one we saw briefly?
No, we did. We saw somebody.
There was someone where he tried the mistletoe trick.
No, that was not her. That was just some throwaway character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nobody important, really. Just, you know, just some random customer that came in and he tried to snag a kiss.
See, sneaky bastard.
Uh huh. So, give us a quick synopsis of this episode.
The gang is held hostage by a store Santa who demands they get into the spirit of the holiday, or else.
Or else. And that's pretty much a good summary of the episode.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to go in this direction, at least. It was fairly unpredictable for parts of it.
Nice. Well, let's get into the run-through right after this commercial break. So stay tuned. And welcome back, Lassa. What did you think of that commercial?
Who doesn't like Hershey's, honestly?
The Hershey's bar, that is one classic Christmas commercial.
I don't know the commercial, but I know the chocolate.
I'm pretty sure the people that know, they will appreciate it. So let's get into this run-through. Lassa, okay. You start us.
Okay, the opening scene, we see Marlon trying to zip up an overly stuffed suitcase. And this is harder than trying to close my zipper.
You laughed really hard at that
one. That was the first...
I heard you through the headphones.
The very first joke was a bust. I was like, okay, we're off to a good start. He's sitting on it, starts jumping on it, trying to get it closed. Sean walks in, asking what's inside. And Marlon tells him all the importance of a ski trip, which includes a 5-gallon jug of heat and eat massage oil. Oh boy.
As you can tell, they're going to meet some ladies.
Yeah. We learn that they are going on a ski trip with their girlfriends. Sean asks how Pops took the news that they weren't going to see the family this Christmas. And Marlon says he never told him. Sean gets mad. There's a knock at the door and Pops walks in all happy like normal. He bought them a fruitcake he made using a recipe from the Rhythm and Blues cookbook. Little Rich's Tutti Frutti Fruitcake.
That's such an awesome name for a fruitcake.
Try that saying 3 times in a row, video creek. Tutti Frutti Fruitcake, Tutti Frutti Fruitcake, Tutti Frutti Fruitcake. Oh, I did it!
You did a good job.
Thank you. All the singing practice, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Marlon does a Little Richard impression.
Which he does it pretty well. I would think, if you know Little Richard and his mannerisms.
Oh, yeah.
Dead on.
I know a little bit. And when the opening credits, I found really interesting because it starts one way, and then they stop that type of opening credits, and it goes into like the smooth kind of like...
Yeah. They started with like your typical old school black sitcom.
Yeah, how white people see black people in a way.
Yes.
That was actually really funny. And then they just hit the cameraman. And then it changes into the like more smoother, cool stuff.
More modern times.
Yeah, but still a grandma gets run over by a bus.
Yeah, well, she flies into the air. But she's fine at the end. They show you that she's fine. She just dusts herself off and she gets up.
That's so freaking stupid.
But it made you laugh.
Yeah, it did. Next scene, we are still at Sean's and Marlon's apartment. Pops looks at the suitcase and is thrilled that they're already packed to go visit their aunt in Philadelphia. Pops is really into the idea of always spending Christmas with family. They try to tell him that they aren't going this year, but every word sets Pops off on a reminiscing speech. He starts singing like Johnny Mathis and walks out the door.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. If you know Pops, Pops likes to sing, so he's usually singing in a scene somewhere.
That's the great thing about this show, I guess, because even though this was my first episode, and it's not even like the first episode, it's just a random episode in the middle, I still got who these characters were from the very outset. Like, I knew what I can expect from this character, what can I expect from this one. They are so well characterized that you can get behind them very quickly.
Right, yeah. That's what a good sitcom does. You don't have to necessarily watch from the beginning. You kind of get the idea of who is who.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you really do have to worry about in this episode or in this sitcom, you kind of have to know the background of what, you know, what they do. They own a newsstand. They spend most of their time at the lobby. And most of the time they do a lot of antics together, and you wonder, who is watching the newsstand? It's only them two. And they go off on like tangents sometimes, and they go off somewhere, and I'm like, it's the middle of the day. Why aren't you open at the newsstand? Who's there? It would have made more sense if they had a third like throwaway character that worked at the newsstand too. So when those two left to go do whatever, they had the third person watching the newsstand, but they never do that. So they're at the newsstand now. There's a Santa in the lobby. People are starting to get in that Christmas Grinch mode by complaining about the line. Dee, the security guard, she smacks her nightstick and she yells to everybody to shut up. This is Christmas. A woman walks up to the counter wanting to buy a magazine. Marlin tells her to hold on. He ducks and he pops back up with a hat on with a mistletoe on it, like, you know, what Urkel did a couple months back. They have an exchange and she's not going to give him a kiss. So she walks off. There's the whole little laugh that she's not going to kiss him. That she's Jewish, she doesn't celebrate Christmas.
Well, this pickle is kosher.
Marlin says that. Sean, he's taking down the decorations, and Dee comes up to him and says, you know, it's Christmas Eve. Why are you taking down all the decorations? He says that they don't want to have to deal with it when they come back from their trip. Total, like, I don't know what to call that. I guess it's smart, really, that you don't want to come back from your ski trip and have to take down decorations, but it's Christmas Eve. You gotta leave them up. The boys ask if she doesn't like Christmas, and she goes, yeah, everyone's so fake and nice. Like, they go, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. And the only reason they do it is so they can get a tip. And then the second she says that, in walks the mailman, all cheerful and screaming, hey, Merry Christmas to my favorite people in my favorite building. And Marlin's all like, who the hell are you? He's like, it's me, Norm, your mailman. And Dee tells him to stop it with the Christmas cheer. He's not going to get a tip. And then he turns into like this psycho. And he's all like, oh, you have a package for you. It's marked fragile. Go long. And he throws it. And you hear it shatter. Marlin gets all upset. And he says that there goes his Sanford and Son commemorative plates. Do you get that reference?
No.
Sanford and Son is a very old black sitcom, kind of like the Jeffersons.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of like that, very well known. So when it's commemorative plates, it's like that's part of their culture, that's what they would collect, something like that. And Sean makes an impression, like that impression he does, that is the main character of Sanford and Son. That's the dad.
Okay.
And the dad always calls everybody dummy. So in that imitation, he's saying, oh,
because I'm the dummy.
Yeah. And then Marlin goes, this was your Christmas present. And then he goes, well, it looks like I'm the dummy. Dummy. So Sean makes fun of him. And in walks TC. He's wearing a very bright, very festive getup that I think made you laugh, because I think I heard you laughing the second
you
saw.
Yeah, because especially the reaction of the reaction of Dee, because she like has to look away, like, yeah. As if it wasn't too bright.
It was too bright. It was pretty bright. He looked like a pimped out elf, I should say. With the red. There's another time where in a different episode where he's wearing a like a red and yellow getup, and I think it was Sean or Marlin that they tell him that he looks like a box of McDonald's French fries. It's so funny. But in walks TC is my favorite character, one of my favorite characters in the show, because he's just, I don't know, you have to watch the show to see him.
He acts like he really wants to be Billy Dee Williams, but can't.
Sort of. He wants to be that sly, smooth person, but yeah. he's a con artist, basically.
Yeah, yeah. He immediately I got what his character was all about. That's the power of his show, I guess.
Yeah. So in walks TC. He's wearing the festive getup. Sean asks if he's doing what he's doing around there. And he's doing what he does. He's ripping people off. Santa overhears that he sold a cube of zirconium to some guy outside for $800. And I was like, oh, yeah, that would have gotten some people. That's a fake diamond if you didn't know what a cubic zirconium was. TC says that that Santa's the one with the real scam, that he's making empty promises to kids. And then he goes on saying that this one year, the Macy's Santa told him that he was going to give him a Dolomite decoder ring. Do you know what that is?
That kind of the name, like Dolomite, but that kind of rang a bell.
Yes, Dolomite is like a pimp action hero.
Yeah, right. That's it, yeah.
And a decoder ring, so you can understand what he's saying. You get a little bit of that at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
But and then everyone gets in on that. Dee wants, she said that she was wanting a Susan Lucci designer locket. Marlon wanted a Bikini Beach Betty doll. And Sean wanted an Action Jackson Saturday Night Special, which is like a toy gun. Mm-hmm. Do you know what Action Jackson is?
No.
It is another black action hero, and it was played by Carl Weathers.
Oh.
It's a movie. You should look it up.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of Dolomite, especially for boom mic and Dolomite.
Yes. And Marlon wanted the Bikini Beach Betty doll, and everyone's like, Bikini Beach Betty? And he's like, that's the closest thing I can get to a naked woman. So Santa tells them that Christmas isn't about getting presents. It's about sharing the gift of love. And he walks off saying, ho, ho, ho. And then they go, I hope he would stop with all them hoes. Sounds like a stuttering pimp.
Sounds like a stuttering pimp. Ho, 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 ho. That was one of her best singers. It was really good.
That's a good scene right there.
The next scene, Sean is removing the decorations from a tree. Marlon runs it, knocking him over. Marlon says that they have to go, because traffic's going to be bad. Where is this taking place? Is this in New York?
This is in New York.
Yeah, because we mentioned
Manhattan.
Yeah, because we mentioned the Chrysler Building. So yes. Just to make sure. because we don't really have establishing shots of some, like they have establishing shots, but it kind of sounds like any American street. But again, I figured out very quickly that it was New York because of the taxi cabs going
right,
by.
Yeah, you don't really see that in many other places here.
No. Just to make sure, because knowing me, I'm an idiot sometimes. they have to wait for all the customers to leave a lobby. Marlon says no problem. He goes over to where Santa is and basically pulls a little girl away from Santa as she's telling what she wants for Christmas. She's asking for like all these political things.
Nuclear testing for nuclear web things.
No global warming,
yeah.
and
no smoking in restaurants.
Yeah, peace to all.
Yes, basically.
And Santa yells that Charlotte isn't finished yet. Marlon replies that she needs to be talking to a congressman, not Santa Claus.
That's a good line.
Dee closes the door behind them. Pops walks in from the diner and says Marlon and asks Marlon what he's doing, and she says that they need to hurry or else they are going to miss their plane. And Pops reminds them that they are taking the train to Philly. Sean tells him no, that he's taking the train. They are flying to Vermont for their ski trip. Pops tells them that they always spend Christmas together. Sean says he knows that this year he wanted to go something different, like have fun. And the Pops
is something different, like have fun.
Pops like, Christmas isn't about fun, it's about family. He's mad that they aren't going to spend Christmas with the family. He says that he might as well call the whole thing off. Sean and Marlon say, well, if it's off, we'll go skiing. Santa brings out a gun and tells them that they aren't going anywhere. That caught me off guard.
The psycho Santa?
Yeah, I was like, what?
Yeah, he pulls out a gun and pretty much holds him there. So we go into a commercial break, and then we come back. We're back pretty much right where we left off. Dee, she's trying to talk the Santa to giving her the gun, and he doesn't really think. She says that, I don't think you could really pull that trigger. And he saw, like, in a North Pole minute. he does take Dee's gun and the nightstick because she is a security guard. Santa tells them that unless they get into the Christmas spirit, it's going to get very messy in there. So Marlin tells Pops to do something before Santa kills them. He said that if they would have just gone to their aunts, none of that would have happened. Sean would much rather die than to eat Aunt Mabel's pig feet pudding. Pig feet pudding. Who would think of that? Pig feet pudding. That sounds horribly disgusting.
That sounds like the parody of soul food.
Yeah, I guess. There's also another one in the Halloween one. He says that the special for the day is chicken fried pumpkin.
Yeah.
I don't know what chicken fried pumpkin would be. But Dee asks Santa what he really wants. And he just wants him to be kind and warm to show some love for their fellow man. And TC mutters, oh, he's crazier than we thought.
Next scene in the same place. They're all redecorating the Christmas tree. Santa sitting by the register, telling them how to decorate. Marlin tells Sean that their plane leaves in 20 minutes. Yeah, pre-9/11, you can show up right before the plane leaves and get on. I know from my very trip here that if you're just 2 minutes too late, they don't leave you on it anymore.
No, you have to show up easily an hour to 2 hours before. And why? I don't know. Because you end up spending an hour to 2 hours waiting for the plane.
Maybe that's so we can buy some merchandise. You know, yeah, it's all connected.
It's all commercial.
It's really, man, I was so angry when I missed the first plane, you know. when I missed my connection flight. But hey, it worked out at least, dear people. I had to spend a few hours there.
Yeah,
and I didn't buy anything.
Good job.
So suck it, dear airport.
Keep going.
Santa says that they are talking. Santa asks what they are talking about, and everyone
plays up how much fun they're having.
Yeah, exactly. They ask if they can leave now. Santa says no. They have a long way to go. Sean gets an idea. Marlon needs to distract Santa and he'll use the phone to call for help. Marlon tells Santa a few bad jokes. Really bad jokes.
Really, really, really bad jokes.
And Sean calls the police, but as he's about to say what's going on, it's like, this is police, yeah. And Santa pulls the gun to his head. He's like, Merry Christmas. Hangs up.
Hello? Is this 911? Yep. Merry Christmas.
Santa says, anyone try anything like that again? It's going to be a silent night, holy night. Sean and Marlon start fighting. Santa tells them that they better get the Christmas spirit or he's going to start blowing some heads off, and then they celebrate again.
Yeah, they also celebrate. We're still in the same place. I mean, a lot of this whole episode pretty much takes place in the lobby. The lobby is decorated so they can put on a play. They're doing like the Christmas story, I guess. Pop comes out. He's wearing this old shepherd's outfit. He starts telling the Christmas story. He's all like, back in the day, way back in the day in Bethlehem, there was a fine family of shepherds. And then the boys yell from the back of the sheet that, you know, it's dumb. They're not going to come out. And then Pop threatens to go back there with his belt. And then they come running out. They both have shepherd's costumes on. Pop continues. He continues with the story, but he adds in that the shepherds were selfish and that they didn't want to spend Christmas with their families. All they cared about was lust and fornication, and they wanted to go skiing.
Lust and fornication.
Santa's all like, hey, that's not part of the Christmas story. And Pops is all like, well, you tell your version, I'll tell mine. And then he's like, well, as luck would have it, the little girls went skiing by themselves. And the two little shepherd boys had to tend to their flock. And then out comes TC wearing this, I don't know, carpet or whatever on his back. And he's all like, man, I look like the front seat of a Pinto.
It actually looks like sheep wool.
Yeah, it does. He's wearing a bow as like a bow tie. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, a huge one. Santa asks, what'd he say? And then TC goes down to his knees and he's like, bah! the play continues and Dee walks down the stairs. She's wearing an angel outfit and she's reciting what the angel tells them about the Lord coming. And we all know the Christmas story. And this speech, it really touches everyone, because you can see when she's done, the camera kind of pans to everybody and they all have like this humble look on their face.
Yeah, and she really does it straight-faced and honestly. Mm-hmm. And but when she first comes down with this, she looks like a butterfly.
Yeah.
Finally, in a new location.
Yes.
Varen Pop's diner, getting things ready for Christmas dinner. Pops comes out of the kitchen saying dinner is served. Sean says it looks great and they didn't know that they had a turkey in the bag. And Pop says it's not a real turkey. Marlon says it's spurky. It looks like turkey, tastes like spam. they go to dig in when Santa stops them and says they need to give thanks. Pops tells them all to bow their heads. Marlon tries to do a fast one, but Santa isn't having it. Marlon gets mad and says this is the worst Christmas he's ever had, and just shoot him. Santa says he's right, and Marlon goes, no, don't shoot me, no.
This is the worst Christmas I ever had. Just shoot me. He's all like, oh, don't shoot me, I'm just playing.
Santa says that he should have known better. He can't make people have the Christmas spirit. Pops then tells him that's not true. That's his favorite holiday. And he tells the story about the time his dad came home from the war on Christmas Day. He was so happy that day that he decided never to spend Christmas away from family. Sean and Marlon didn't know the story. Weird, but okay.
Yeah, it was very weird that they didn't know about that story. Because Pops, if you know the show, Pops always tells story. He has a story for everything. That's what he's there for. He's there for pretty much guidance. Kind of like how I'm always saying to everyone, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah, and it's actually
that's what Pops is there for.
It's actually a really good story. You would have you would have thought that they would grow up with that story,
right?
But well, whatever, for convenience sake.
It's very sweet.
Yeah. They didn't know the story, and if they did, they would have canceled their skiing trip, which is really sweet. And Pops understood, he was young once. He says that he's feeling tingly inside, but that he thinks he's feeling the Christmas spirit. They all say they feel it too. Dee even misses her mother, and Pops turn to ask Santa if they learned their lesson, but he's gone.
Yeah, he's gone. They go on a nice search for Santa. It kind of, Marlon says that he moved pretty fast for a fat man. they start walking around the diner. They go back into the lobby. Dee walks into the lobby and no one follows her. Everyone just pushes her face up against the glass, and then she kind of waves for them to come in. They all come tumbling in. Sean, he sees some stockings with their names on them, like over there in the corner, and Pops reads a note that was left behind. It says, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. One by one, they see what they got, and it's pretty much what they asked for as kids. They asked Pops what he got, and he said that he got a slice of his fruitcake. And Marlon jokes that that's worse than a lump of coal. he says no, that he's the luckiest one of them all, that he got to spend Christmas with his sons. And Dee starts asking if they think that was the real Santa. Sean says that just because, you know, he was a white fat man that held him hostage and filled him up with holiday cheer, it doesn't mean he's the real Santa. And Marlon says, yeah, where's his sleigh? And they start hearing the voice of Santa calling his reindeer. They go outside and look up. Santa yells down at them and says, Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night. Marlon tells him to watch out for the top of the Chrysler Building, and we get a big old thud and crash, and Santa yells, oops, my bad, and they all just laugh. That's pretty much the end of the episode, because we have a final scene, but it's pretty much the main cast. They're looking at the camera and they're singing a version of 12 Days of Christmas, but with all the stuff that they got. The Susan Lucci locket, the Bikini Beach Betty, the Dolomite decoder ring, and the Action Jackson. God, I can't say that together. That Saturday Night Special, and Pops is Fruity Tooty Fruitcake. And that's it. And then they wish the audience a Merry Christmas.
And while we're singing, they break character.
Yeah. Which is a lot of fun. So that was a full run through of the episode. We are going to go to a commercial break now. So when we come back, we will give you our new segment, which is the favorite scene. Be right back.
See you later.
This season on the Advent Calendar House.
Gadgets, toys, greed, avarice.
We tackle a new holiday special every day from December 1st through Christmas Eve.
Merry Christmas, Phoebe's Playhouse.
Joker here.
From the must-watch Christmas classics,
The Grinch,
to the lost treasures at the bottom of the discount DVD bin,
Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Join me at adventcalendar.house and on the Christmas Podcast Network.
I love it.
Like a delicious hot bowl of Campbell's chicken noodle soup.
Let it snow, let it snow.
Campbell's makes everything.
And welcome back, everyone. We hope you enjoyed that Campbell's soup commercial. That's a classic.
It is. If you want a good laugh, look out for the Nostalgia Critic parody of it.
That was pretty funny. But yeah, classic Christmas commercial. We hope you enjoyed it. So let's go to our favorite scene. I guess so this time around it is my turn to pick the favorite scene.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many in this episode. We have the one with... I really like the one with the 911. And then he's like, Merry Christmas.
That's really good.
A lot of the imitations are pretty fun when Marlon gets into the whole Little Richard imitation. But I think I'm going to have to go with the final ending credits. Because... it's fun. It's a nice thing you get to see. It's very, very visual. Everyone's looking at the camera. They even wish you a Merry Christmas. So we are going to play that right now.
On the fifth day of Christmas, Santa gave to me a Dolomite Dakota ring,
an Action Jackson pistol,
Bikini Beach Betty,
a Susan Lucci locket,
and a stale Tutti Frutti fruitcake. Woo!
On the Wayans brothers, to you and yours.
Have a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Peace out.
One love.
Look up, Marlon. Say cheese.
And welcome back. Wasn't that a lovely sing-along?
Yes, it was. Good scene.
Yeah,
good
yeah. Scene. It really is. I jokingly said, like, when you said, okay, it's my pick to search, like, for a favorite scene. What's one? I just jokingly said the end credits. He was like, yeah, you know, you're right. Because I was looking at you because I didn't know your history with the show. And you are just, and I'm still not used to you not having a reaction while watching something. You know, you're pretty minor with your reactions. You're not really like a... so somebody who laughs out loud all that much, or like who reacts in a big way, like me. And so I was looking over at you, and you look like you were not having any of this.
Well, it's, you gotta remember, like, I've watched these things 1,000 times. I'm not even joking. I can recite this whole entire episode probably from beginning all the way to the very end with only missing a few sentences here and there. I could even give you the full run through right now.
Oh boy.
I mean, they're at their apartment. They're at the lobby. They're getting the stuff away. We have the mailman. The Santa is there. Sean is taking out the Christmas decorations. And we get the whole TC interaction.
Mm-hmm.
We go to a commercial break. We come back. We're talking to Pops. He goes in. And Marlon is getting the little girl out of the way.
Yeah, I think we get the idea.
I can do it pretty much the entire thing. If I even started reciting it, I can probably tell you word for word what it is.
Okay.
That's how many times I've seen these things.
Yeah,
so
you didn't tell me about that. So I was like, am I really amateur for laughing at this? But
no,
okay. So you enjoyed
it. Well, yesterday when I was watching it doing the notes and we were in my living room.
Mm-hmm.
I did laugh out loud, and you kind of looked at me.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And you took your headphones off, and you thought I was laughing at something for you. And I said, no, it's the show.
Yeah, I made the notes for another episode.
Yeah, I don't remember what I laughed at. I think it might have been the Fruity Tooty Fruitcake. Because it's funny.
Okay, yeah, but... yeah, because I actually thought, oh, wow, he doesn't really seem to enjoy this. But, okay, that's fine.
It is what it is. It is what it is.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is. You know, this is actually really enjoyable. Like, I liked it quite a bit. To be fair, I had the idea that he was the real Santa shortly after that whole scheme started.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I have this idea. That would be way too stupid. way too stupid. They wouldn't do this. They wouldn't do this. And then they did it.
They did. But I had something that I thought about yesterday. I didn't write it down, but I don't remember what it was, of how he couldn't be Santa. But I don't remember what it was. The Santa was played by Jerry Seinfeld's dad. I don't know if you noticed that.
No, I didn't.
That is that same actor is the guy that plays Jerry Seinfeld's dad. I think his name is... what's his name? He's very popular. Barney Martin. Mm-hmm. That is who plays Santa.
Yeah, so a little cameo going on, kind of.
Yeah, at the time I didn't know it because I wasn't a big Seinfeld fan until very later.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of good characters. We had a lot of fun on this episode. It's really good for laughs.
Yeah.
There's a lot of one-liners, a lot of zingers. You have to know the black culture, I guess. I guess the best way to say it, because a lot of these references, they're black references. They're Dolomite, you know, Action Jackson, Bikini Beach Betty.
I only know about Dolomite because I'm a film buff.
Yeah. Then you have to know those things. I mean, they did... a Sanford and Son reference. You kind of have to know all of those things to get these jokes, because at one point in one episode, Dee, she's very angry, and then Marlon goes, wow, I haven't seen her this upset since Amen got canceled. And if you know the actress Amen, she was in that show.
Okay.
The actress. So that's kind of like those things you have to know, because those one-liners, they are funny when you know the backstory to them. There's so many other ones, like at one point they're making fun of Good Times, and Marlon starts saying that something about a little boy that's deaf, and he falls down an elevator shaft. He falls down, and they make a big joke about it. Years later, I was watching Good Times, and I saw that episode of a deaf boy falling down the elevator shaft, and I was like, that makes perfect sense now. So it's just a lot of those things. You have to know the culture. If you know it, a lot of these things will make you laugh.
Maybe that's why it wasn't like maybe that's why it didn't really had like a run in Germany.
Oh,
because
maybe.
It was that culture specific, but I guess Family Matters still counted, you know. I guess that was more accessible.
Yeah, well, Family Matters, it's not, it wasn't big on black culture. It was more or less, it wasn't big on black pop culture, I should say.
Yeah, yeah.
Because a lot of these references in this show, it's pop culture, but, you know,
it plays
BET stuff.
It plays it more broad in that regard.
Yeah. Same with Martin. Martin was another show that did a lot of those black humor stuff with the pop culture. So you kind of have to know in order to get a lot of those jokes.
Yeah, yeah.
But, yeah. Did we do the final thoughts of the episode?
No, I guess we were just kind of in the middle of it.
Riffing but, around. Go ahead.
Going off of this episode, I would actually really enjoy watching some more. Like, see if I can track some down. Because I thought it was really funny. This was still the time where the Wayans put out quality work until they just slummed it after a while, like in the early 2000s when it got into late 90s, early 2000s when it got into the whole scary movie stuff.
Yeah.
So because I've seen like the Wayans brothers and some stuff, and they have and they can have actually some quiet range. Like even Marlon Wayans, you know, he was at Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah,
it was a dramatic role, and he was good in that. You know, they can surprise you. You know, there are a lot of actors and comedians who really can surprise you in that regard. And I always enjoyed some of their comedy if I could find it. And this actually, you know, I mean, sure, it's stupid. It's kind of stupid in a way. And
yes, it is. I mean, we spend 80% of this show at the lobby, like in the same set, basically.
Oh, but that's not. I mean, that's not a bad thing, you know. I mean, the whole film Carnage just take place in one flat, you know, in one apartment.
Right.
I mean, that's not like the location is not a big deal, you know. The big deal is the humor, and of course, you have to have a soft spot for this kind of humor, because it certainly is a little bit, I don't know, immature at points, but you can see
it definitely is,
and the message is very very obvious, but it comes from a place of heart. And all the actors do a very good job. They have good chemistry. You can get behind the characters very fast. I yeah, I laughed several times, and that's what a good sitcom is supposed to do. So in my mind, this episode, bringing you into the Christmas spirit in a funny way, was a success.
Yeah, it does. It does a really good job with all of that stuff. This sitcom, I have been in love with this sitcom since the very beginning. I remember watching the first episode when it was live on TV. I told this story numerous times on the Halloween podcast whenever we have to do a reference to this show. I used to work the night shift at a gas station. I worked the graveyard, and I would bring a recorded VHS tape of this sitcom to work with me, and a TV and a VCR, so I can pop it in and watch it all night. And I never got tired of it. I still have that VHS tape of all the random episode recordings that I had. Because remember, at the time, we didn't have iTunes. We didn't have any of this stuff where we can download it and have it in the palm of our hands. I literally had to bring a TV, a VCR, and the VCR tape, or the tape, to put it in and watch it.
Yeah.
And so I always had a good love for this show. I love this show so much that I still watch it pretty much every night. My wife, when it's time to go to bed, she knows that she puts it on because it helps me go to sleep. She'll put on the show, and then, you know, we'll go to sleep. And I never get tired of it. Okay, there's some times where the DVR doesn't record any more shows. It just keeps playing the same ones. And when she hits play, it keeps playing the same episode. And literally, I went a whole 2 months watching the same episode every night.
Oh, boy.
No joke. And she eventually got sick of it. And she, like, deleted it off of the DVR so we could finally watch a different episode. But my poor, beautiful wife. The things that she has to put up with.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this episode, I saw this episode when it first aired. I was really happy that I recorded it. So I did, and I've watched it a million times. And then I got it on iTunes and all that stuff. It's a really good episode. It's really funny. Really good Christmas content.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you only understand the title when you are a little bit into the episode, because it was a Psycho Santa. What kind of title is that for a sitcom episode? And I mean, there are horror movies, slasher movies, which are called like that.
Right. But yeah, I mean, it's always been my dream. Since I started podcasting, I've always wanted to do a run-through of the Wayans brothers, because nobody has done it. It's still like, I'll still look up the title of the first couple of episodes to see if somebody has started one. Nobody has done it. So I think, I don't know, I'm spread thin already. So maybe I'll do one eventually. Maybe I'll do a solo one where I just talk into the mic and give you a run through of the whole episode. You could probably do it without any notes.
It makes your podcast just all the more special, both of them.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. Because I had a thought of doing it and then getting random people to come on every single show, and then I would call it We're Brothers, the We're Brothers podcast, because in the beginning, that's the first word that comes up. The We're Brothers podcast, and then every time I get a new guest, I'd be like, today my brother is, and then it'd be funny if it was a female, today my brother is, you know, so-and-so from the so-and-so podcast. So I always thought that would be fun. But
it sounds like a fun gimmick, actually.
It does, We're Brothers podcast. It's just one day I have my dog on.
And we could actually do like to a parody version of a brother's song they do.
And yeah, we're brothers. We're happy and we're singing and we're Mexican and something else.
German.
<Da-na-na-na>. But yeah, that's fun. All right, well, let's close up this episode because I think we said everything we had to say.
Yeah, we did.
Cool. All right, so if you would like to send us any questions, comments, or want to suggest anything for a future show, you can go ahead and send those to send those to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. We are also on Twitter at 90schristmaspod. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so very easily by leaving us a 5-star review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. That's what it's called now. Or pretty much anywhere where you get your podcasts from. Just leave us a review. Most podcatchers will have a place for you to write us a review. Please do that. It would really help us out.
Yeah, yeah, please do. If you want to find my stuff, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter at Lasse Vogt. I write soundtrack reviews for scoregeek.wordpress.com. German ones, sorry. My other podcast is called Fans About Films, available on SoundCloud and iTunes. And I have a YouTube channel, The Deppard, with all sorts of crazy stuff there. Please check it out and please leave us a comment. We need it, we want it, and you have it.
Yes, we do. So thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you again next week for another Christmas episode. Have a good night.
Take care. Bye-bye now.